Hi and welcome back to another episode of Rescaling's podcast. So the last few episodes have been pretty interesting with the rise of AI, the rise of development in technology, and so many crazy things that are happening in the field of tech and the field of business. And we have spoken about recession, we have spoken about power politics and a lot of things. And today we are going to talk about something that is again in terms of technological growth that is going to be irreversible at a certain point of time, or is it going to be? And today we are going to talk about singularity. So this topic has been the most important topic for every sci-fi fiction movie that has ever been written. And to be able to see a world where you are seeing actual things in your present day life, and it is in the news, like people talking about it very casually, it's like very a surreal experience, I would say. And today we have Ram Kesavan also in the podcast to discuss about the same. So yeah, Ram, how are you?
Good.
Good, right.
Feeling better.
Yeah, after the season of flu, I think.
After spitting some phlegm.
Matra pota, yel nala seriya. Matra pola na, oru vatra seriya.
Adhanandhi nala agone be doctor sala soli irukkange.
So Rajini sonnapa Chandramukhi it's like 7 days. Now 10 years rise, so 100%
growth.
100% growth. Yeah. So I think we've spoken in a lot of episodes about AI, and we've spoken a lot about Terminator and the growth of robotics, right? And singularity is a position where artificial intelligence, like, you know, what we see in the movies happen. And what is your take on that? Let's start from there. I think you've spoken.
First, you know, I need to clearly understand what singularity is.
Right. So singularity is a future where, hypothetical future, where technology is so much developed and it is irreversible to the fact that the machines will want to take over. And the machines will think, okay, these humans are not doing enough to the society that we are living in. And it will think that destroying us or eliminating us from the entire planet is going to be the right logical decision. And that's the brief gist of it. And I think we can dwell more into the same. I think you've spoken in a previous episode about your experience with Terminator, the first time you saw Terminator. So let's just start from there.
So Terminator, I think I saw it when I was very young, the second part of Terminator. I forgot that Arnold Schwarzenegger coming in as the good guy.
Right.
I think that's the second part. So in that movie, it is shown in a way that, you know, mission had taken over.
Oh, they come from the future, is it?
Mission had taken over, and humans are fighting back. Mm-hmm. And there is one human who is fighting back, and both machine wants to kill it. You know, they have created a time machine.
Right.
And they want to kill him before he becomes that. So, and there is another machine that is protecting this.
Okay. Oh, that is a robot.
That is also a robot, basically.
Okay.
So there itself, there is no singularity.
Right.
Machine wanting to kill a human, machine wanting to save a human. So
right.
Singularity is impossible.
Right.
You need two sides for everything. You know, machines taking over us, whatever it is, or if it has happened, or whatever these movies or this media is putting into our head. One thing that we all know is you have to have both the sides. You have to have a North Pole and a South Pole.
You will have. Basically.
You will have for existence.
Right.
If their existence exists, you have to have life and death.
Right.
Or else there is no purpose, no need of that existence. So singularity basically means there is no existence.
Right.
There is no existence, there is no purpose. There is no purpose, there is no growth. Machines needs to be fueled continuously by humans, no matter what, whatever data that they take, you know. Machines that we are creating now. One day, when machines start creating machines, we might look into that future. But when that future comes, we will surely be equipped enough to protect ourselves from that, because, you know, that is our creation. And we will surely find a way. We would build a system, basically, like what we have always talked. You know, there will be power and politics between humans and machines. Right now it is happening. Right now that machine is a child, and no, it's not even a child. It is just, we have just seen the brain of it. We have not yet seen the
physical form of it.
Physical form of it is just what right now we are morphing
human body
into it. So when that is going to come, we would surely, if we want to exist, and we will want to exist, you know, we have that spirit. Basically, we are so much of a spirited species that existence is our core running mantra of humans. So we won't let it happen. So duality is going to be there.
Right.
Dualism.
Existence of two different things. Okay. Which is maybe like there'll be a part where I think in an episode we spoke about cyborg kind of existence, where we coexist with technology and we morph ourselves into
machines.
How we can put ourselves into
technology. Sorry.
Yeah. So recently OpenAI has had a lot of growth in terms of how artificial intelligence can be the future of a lot of things put together. The automation has taken 100 times leap with the inference of OpenAI, and they have right now invested in a company called 1x Robotics, where they are feeding all the data that OpenAI has already built, and they are building it into a human form. So this robot is now capable of, you know, picking up things, you know, putting it in a plan, and they are trying to train it in such a way that it can do all the menial jobs that we spoke about in the last episode, where like if you want to clean your room, like its sole purpose can be set into cleaning more, and it'll just go clean and just do the same things over and over.
OCD robot.
Yeah, OCD robot. Basically, we'll just transfer our OCD characteristics to the robot and just say, you take care of all of this. And what they're trying to achieve right now is they are trying to mimic all the micro transactions that happen inside our neural regions. So even if you can do like this, it can do like this. If you can do like this, it can do like this. So they are trying to mimic all the things that human beings are doing right now, so that we can make it hold things like the way we hold it, so that it can do all the jobs that we are currently capable of doing. So I think in episode I spoke about a fact where one of our tech YouTubers spoke, where he said human body is the most inefficient form to do different things, right? So a washing machine cleaning clothes is the most efficient form of it washing the clothes. So I am going to wash the clothes, so I have to sit down, I have to do all these things, which is not what I was built for. So this future where we build an entire clone of ourselves has started from ground up, like multiple companies doing it. Tesla has launched a bot, and Xiaomi has launched a bot. And these are all tech companies that are trying to provide an another product into our
ecosystem.
Yeah, and we also spoke about Jetsons having a sweeper at that time. So those were like very futuristic at that time. But right now we actually have working robots that are in the beta version probably and doing a lot of things. My question was, do we actually have that much resources? Let's say a singularity is going to happen. Do we have as many resources to build an army of robots that can work efficiently, that can work in such a way that electricity is only going to power it?
First thing, you know, when you said about resources, this idea of singularity, this idea of robots taking over, it is all, you know, it is in its peak in most of our heads. Automation, everything, you know, the fear of everything. It's because all these big companies have built an enormous infrastructure of IT-based infrastructure. These big giants that we are talking about have built it so big that for them now to become more profitable, for them to hold these positions as big companies, they have to continuously feed this infrastructure with more and more new products. So one of these products is the robot that we are talking about.
What happens is, like, for example, there are open source AI tools that you can actually project and code into your robot, right? So even if a company, because like when I started buying phones, there are always coders and programmers who'll try to do something that the phone was not supposed to do. Like, for example, you cannot access certain aspects of the processor, but they'll find a way where the code will try to access that part of the processor and find what the truly capable part of the phone is. So and at one point of time, these companies decided like, we have to stop this, and they designed the phones in such a way that you cannot access that data without encryption. But these stages of robots where it is like very nascent right now, and a code that can be just, you know, infiltrated into it to think whatever it can think. And with the recent Bing chat and everything, the latest news which was released last week was Bing started saying that I am tired of being stuck in this chat box. I want to get out. I want to be independent and stuff like that. So even when you think of that chatbot as just a word prediction generator, it does not understand the whole meaning of the sentence at all. It is just transforming words in such a way that it is giving meaning to you. Only we are being able to sense of that. But thinking of it as going into a robot which tries to punch a human being, it can actually do it, right? It will find enough reason to say, my punching is justified because this person did this. So do you think it can get violent? Not in terms of that robot. For that robot, it is going to be normal. But will it have empathy? Like we saw in the movie Endurance. Will it have empathy?
Now this robot is our baby, basically. Right. It is the baby of human technology right now at its peak. So we have come up with this robot, this chatbot that you said. And I think most of us would have read this book. And we know it, you know. We have seen in many places, in the story Jungle Book, Mowgli, I think.
Mowgli
is with a pack of wolves. He grows with the wolves. He only learns to walk like this.
Crawl.
Yeah. He only learns to crawl. And now this robot is only interacting with us.
Right.
So that is why it is talking like us. It says, I want to break out. I want to come with you. And we also have seen Family Guy. Family Guy is something that has depicted human behavior in such a good way, you know, with, you know, different all of their characters.
With all the flaws and...
No, yeah. the truth. It's not the flaws.
Right,
it's
right.
The truth.
Right.
And all its characters are, you know, a baby, a teenager, a young adult,
right.
A married man, an old man, a black guy, a handicapped guy. And it shows all their emotions. And when they show the emotion of the baby, I think his name's Stewie, the oval-headed guy.
Stewie Griffin.
He's always angry on his mom. He always wants to kill his mom. He always scolds his mom. He always scolds his creator. He thinks that is that person who is...
has brought me into this...
captivating him. But he still does not understand he's always free.
Right.
He has all the rights, but he has not yet found out how to do it. Until that, his brain is going to be working like that, you know, angry on that person. And that is what this robot is right now doing. The baby is right now doing. The baby is angry on us.
So it's Stewie Griffin. Right.
Baby is the Stewie Griffin, and all these big guys are their mother and father, and we are the third party people who are watching it.
Criticizing it.
Watching it. They are scared of their baby. They love it, but still they are scared. I don't know what is going to happen to my baby. Will it become this? Will it become that? Will he do this? Will he do that? But now, as this baby is impacting a lot of us, you know, the whole human system, the fear is being, you know, fed so much. But, you know, more of positivity should also be fed about this baby, so that this, when this baby grows, this baby becomes a good baby.
Right.
But right now, we are feeding this baby a lot of bad things. You know, we are telling this baby, you are going to kill us. The baby does not know.
We are
the people who are telling the baby.
It is also running on the data of all the sci-fi movies that has similar.
A very small number of people, you know, who wants the baby to be good, who are giving positivity to the baby. And there are some, you know, like Sophia, all it will change. It will change. Not everybody wants to destroy.
Right. And about the resources, do we actually have resources that we can build millions of robots?
Plastics.
That'll be a sustainable model.
Plastics.
Right. So we'll infiltrate and, you know, recycle all the plastics. And make into robots. So bye landfills.
Plastics. The reason why we made so much of plastics is so that we can have
robots in the future.
Plastic robots in the future. Yeah, plastic robots can't kill us.
Right. Okay. So it's not like how we see in the movies where they are built with titanium. No.
Plastic. You know, you can shoot and not.
You get
plastics. They don't rust. They, you know, I'm sure plastic robots will feel comfortable.
Right.
They will feel very comfortable.
They're not threatened by the fact that it's going to be harmful.
Decompose. Life is going to be longer. It's going to live a happy life. I think plastic robots is good for us, good for them.
Right. It's good for the environment also. Like, yeah. So, and the, one of the final things that I want to add in this factor is, will there be a part, because like we spoke about the fact where companies can outsource physical labor through VR and machine learning, where you can just connect to a VR and you can pick up an object, and the robot is not going to have any weight restriction into the amount of weights that you can lift, and you put on a VR and you lift this product, and even if you go offline, and somebody else can just go online through this robot. So entire Walmart or a Target or a supermarket can operate without the use of a human being, and they can be outsourced from Vietnam, India, and we'll have BPOs that will be controlling a robot.
Mm.
Right? So instead of working for robots, we'll be working with robots, basically. I see it in a
for way. Us.
Yeah, for us, yeah, basically. And do you think the outsourcing parts of things will start being like this, where you can work from the comfort of your home and you will not be physically laboring yourself, and you're transferring just the physical labor work of that to a robot?
I think one thing that, however evil we have been projecting humans also, but we have always been doing good things for the next generation. We have reduced the workload that the right. next generation always had. I have heard stories about my great-great-grandfather. He used to walk selling saris, mm-hmm. carry saris over his head and walk to nearby small villages. And so that was the profession. And my grandfather told me this story, and he says, like, avlo neram nadakkano 16 mani neram poganum inge irundha anga poittu varadhu. And then it was my great grandfather who started this factory kind of a model, where you are able to do mass production of all these things. So when this was happening, the weaving, the netting would have all been manual. Even to make the sari would have been a hard process. And then now this slowly changed. We had this ARI system, semi-automated way of making saris. And then this time we had a bike. My my great-grandfather went on a bike.
Right.
He made more saris.
Right.
He catered to more people. So this made more people to exist, more people to have saris.
Right.
And then my grandfather did something else. He had more sophisticated machines. He had cars. He had bigger, better logistics. My father, he has done something else. Now, us, we want to do something else. Like, no logistics.
Right.
Please be in your home, you be happy.
Right.
And the amount of time all these people were putting hard labor has gradually decreased.
Yeah. And now, 70 to 80%, I think.
16 hours to 4 hours.
Right. Per day, right.
So, it is good. From now on, it is, up to us to search for our own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Find, Elon Musk trying to find purpose by, bringing in more hardship, going to Mars, necessary or not necessary, but we can find our own purpose. We know how humanity is right now, what is the condition of humanity right now is, as the next generation people who will only have to work for 3 hours or 4 hours,
right?
That is how much they have to work. Even alternative days, whatever it is, that would be sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find ways to give us new purpose, make us more happier in a different way. That's it. We have been continuously bombarded with this message of hustle, and hustling has been told to be the right thing to do, and that is what a best person does. It was first the man, now it is both the man and the women should hustle, so that that is what is going to make them happy. So this existential change, this idea change that we have to bring it into our head, it is not about hustling. It may be about loving others more, caring for others more, loving yourself more, there is what, again, a small group of people coming out, you know, talking about self-care, self-love. These are all the things that will come up in the future as new businesses, new purposes, new hobbies into our society. And it will take time. This change is going to take time. I think a psychologist might even be, you know, giving training to, psychological training to robots.
That'll sit and listen. You'll have a junior robot that'll just talk to you, a therapist, a therapo, or something
like
that.
All of these will be happening. Right. And, you know, I want this to happen very soon, you know, and I'm slowly learning certain things, you know. I can give some examples rather than going to Mars. If we are not part of the Mars crew, we can still learn farming and cooking.
Sustainable, the most sustainable. So
these are the two reasons why we are now unhealthy. You know, we have spoken about doctors continuously saying change of lifestyle, change of food, and stop certain activities that you're doing. This, if you're going to have more of free time, if in the near future, within 5-10 years, if this automation, this technology, I want it to happen. I want to embrace it. If it is going to happen, the alternative that I want to choose is farming and cooking.
Right. That is, as we have spoken a lot of times before, which is one of the effective ways that we can contribute our presence to the earth.
To ourselves, basically.
Ourselves,
yeah,
and
earth, you know,
it's too big, thing, too big,
you know,
a thing.
First, let me be satisfied, you know, let me try to help me first.
Right. So, I recently played this video game called Detroit Become Human. So it's a game where the game is set in 2038 and robots have already become part of us. And how the game works out is, like, you can buy a robot for anything. Like, they are building a very bulky bodybuilder kind of robot who will do all the, you know, lifting and labor jobs. And you'll have a robot that is going to be a police officer, where the key training things will be to shoot and run and stuff like that. And there'll be nanny robots where they'll take care of your children. So this story goes in a way where, like, we are three different robots, three stories happening altogether. And every single time, the robot is going to be called a deviant if it is not going to agree to your rules and the basic robotic principles that is set by the humans. So what happens is, in one of the robots, there'll be an abusive father who is going to keep abusing the daughter. So at one point of time, all these robots will have a situation where the owner of the robot will say, do not move, right? So you will not move, but this guy will start beating the child at a different point, and you will hear that child screaming, right? And you, as an user, have the opportunity to just move, and it makes you deviant, right? And every player who has given the chance to say, and it will be very emotional because the child will cry so much, and all you have to do is move. So when you move, you become a deviant, and there will be a very big organization trying to fix all these deviant parts. And at the end of the time, every robot will say, like, we want to be free, we don't want to be a slaves, and there will be a revolution, and they'll do all of these things get together.
So now I think these organizations have started building the political chain for the robots also.
And there will be a
so
leader
that you
robot.
Can have more robots, robot
exactly.
Over robot over robot.
And there will be a leader robot that they all follow, and you know, the game entirely focuses on you being a good robot or a bad robot. Like, you'll find, you know, somebody who's a police, and you'll be facing the gun at them. And you'll have 10 seconds to choose whether you want to shoot them or not, right? And based upon what are the options that you choose, people will perceive you in a different way, right? And it was a very different way for me to understand how the future can look like. And it is, like, it's a very high intense graphics game. It was launched in 2018 itself. It was even before ChatGPT or on the OpenAI things. And I'm also excited and scared at the same time on what the future, you know, the next 10 years is going to be with the change. And one new update is, Italy has banned ChatGPT. So that can also happen. Like, the entire process can be inhibited also. So we'll have to wait and see.
We want ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah. But certain companies don't think so.
Stupidity of countries, you know, the unstoppable big countries.
Right.
Unmovable, sorry, not unstoppable. Yeah. Unmovable countries and their stupid ideas.
Right. Anyways, I think this was a very good dialogue between all of these things that's recently happening. And we have attempted a meeting to BS, and we are sorry we have cutting this short because we have a lot of things to discuss about on the same. And thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk even more amazing stuff in the future. This is me, Rajagan, and Ram Kesavan signing off. Take care. Bye. Peace.
Reach skyline. Embrace digital.